All right, so we're going to start this morning by looking at a couple of pictures, and I want you all to think, what do these people have in common? All right, we ready? So first, we have Kevin. Now, Kevin has been sent to Colombia. Then we have Michelle. Now, Michelle has been sent to Haiti. Then we have Heidi, who has been sent to Honduras. Deborah, been sent to Uganda. And last but surely not least, we have Randy, our good friend, who's been sent to Nepal. So what do these folks have in common? Well, they love to stand next to the American flag. Very patriotic, right? These are United States of America ambassadors. Okay, so what is an ambassador? That's a term we don't often use. So an ambassador is defined as a person that has been sent with a specific group to represent someone else with a specific message or activity. So, for example, we have Kevin, and he has been sent by the United States to represent us, and he has a specific message, and he's carrying that to Colombia. So does Kevin get to say anything that he wants to say? No. He's representing someone else, and he has to carry their message. Does Kevin get to go anywhere in the world he wants to go? No. He doesn't have that freedom. He's been sent to a specific group of people. Well, as being an ambassador is not just a government position, it's also a term that's used to describe an important part of the identity of a Christian. So we find this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Or some translations say it as though God is speaking to us through others, making his appeal, making his message clear. So as ambassadors for Christ, that means God has given us a group of people. Do we get to pick who that is? No, he's assigned that. He's also given us a message. Do we get to pick what that message is? If we wake up on one side of the bed one day and we feel this, or the next. Now, the message is consistent. God's story is consistent. Okay, we have one message that we get to share. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Ronnie Norman, our senior minister here at First Colony Church of Christ, during our new member info sessions, he likes to tell a story about when he's out in the community. People will come up and they'll say, "So Ronnie, what does your church do?" Well, Ronnie likes to say, "Well, you know, during the week, we're school teachers, we're doctors, we're stay-at-home parents, we cut hair, we mow lawns," and he goes on to this list. And that's not really what that person was asking. They're really asking, "Well, what do you do on Sunday mornings?" Right? But I love Ronnie's answer, because his answer is saying, what we do is not defined just by an hour or two or three a week. Who we are, our identity, is ambassadors. We are sent ones. We are to go into the community to make a difference for Christ. That is who we are. That is what we do, is out there. So now that we have a little bit of an idea of what an ambassador is, it's a person that is sent to a group with a message, let me tell you some examples of ambassadors that are here at the First Colony Church of Christ. So annually, our church will send internationally about 80 ambassadors. Every year, we're sending 80 people to the ends of the earth. I mean, isn't that a beautiful picture? In fact, 2 weeks ago, we had 34 go down as ambassadors to Honduras, and one thing among many that they did, they built 12 latrines for families in need that did not have one. Well, not only did they do that, but those 12 families also heard the message of the gospel. We also have been doing mission work like we saw in Uganda for over 20 years, and we have some amazing Ugandan ambassadors. In fact, in May, they spent 17 days doing a gospel campaign focused on 7 villages, and God blessed that work with 45 baptisms. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the kingdom and being sent ones, of where we went 20 years ago, and they're carrying this message of the ambassador on to their villages? I love that. We've also got some great, faithful, courageous brothers and sisters in Nepal. And in Nepal, even in the face of persecution, imprisonment, and beatings, you know what they're obsessed with? Sharing Christ's message. Just this last quarter, they shared the gospel 3,481 times. Isn't that, I mean, they are obsessed with making sure that their Nepali brothers and sisters who are 2% or less Christian, that they know this gospel message. Lord bless their obedience of going out with 113 baptisms. I love that. Right here at the First Colony Church, we have a great ministry called FriendSpeak. And people come from all around the world to come learn English. And through that, we're also teaching them Christ's message. And we have 100 ambassadors from our church that are doing this on an annual, daily, weekly basis. Not only are we doing that, we've got a fantastic children's ministry led by Joel Smith here. And they are doing some great things. If y'all were a part of VBS, it was alive and well and kicking. And we have about 60 ambassadors that are helping and serving in our children's ministry to serve the families right here in our church and from our community. In fact, one of those ambassadors, her name is Missy Edgman. Now, Missy, she is focused on a group called, it's a fifth grade group called the LIT Group. So LIT stands for Leaders in Training. And so Missy has been teaching these young ambassadors how to go on mission for God and how to share their faith with other people. In fact, they've been memorizing some key important scriptures and able to go do that. And in 2 weeks, they're going out to Movie Under the Moon, and they're going to go serve as volunteers. But they're not just going as a volunteer. They're going as an ambassador. They're going to share their faith with the heart of our community, with the people that God have given them right here in Sugar Land. I love the faith and the boldness that our fifth graders carry out to Sugar Land. That is a beautiful, beautiful picture of an ambassador. So this morning, the LIT Group has sent some representatives to come help me out during my sermon time. So this time I want to invite up Maddox Spiegel. You can come on up. Maddox is the son of Johnny and Laura Spiegel. We can give him a hand here. Thank you, Maddox. In second service, I'm going to be joined by Matthew Madonna, son of Tim and Andrea Madonna. Honored to share the stage with these gentlemen today. Maddox, if you would, get us started by quoting Acts 1:8 for us.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was beautiful. Wow. Well, just as God used his Holy Spirit to lead Jesus' followers to their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth, so Jesus, as ambassadors, leads us through the Holy Spirit to our Sugar Land, our Houston, our Texas, our ends of the earth. So today, as ambassadors for Christ, Maddox and I are going to be sharing with you Christ's message. For some of you, I pray that it'll be like God is calling to you through us as we speak for Christ. For others, I pray this is a time of learning the message of an ambassador, and that you take this message and go share it with the group that God has given you. So we're going to be using a tool today. It's just a little cube with a bunch of pictures, and this is a tool that's been used all around the world, been a helpful, proven tool. We've had missionaries, former and present, that use this. I've used it on 4 different continents. In fact, we just had a team that went down to Cucuta, Colombia, 10 people, 1 week, personally shared this with 481 people, 368 accepted Christ. That is a beautiful testimony. And is there power in this cube? Absolutely not. Is there power in testimony of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so you can do this in 3 minutes. You can do it in about 15. My friend Doug Calvin likes to call this the street preacher version, so this one's for you, Doug. Here we go. You ready, Maddox?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. So this light represents God. Now God, he is light, and in him can be no darkness. He is perfect and holy and pure and without sin. Now this picture represents man, and we are surrounded by darkness. And we are red because we have sin. Now Maddox, can you tell me, how many sins did Adam and Eve have to make before they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden?
One sin.
Just one. One, and then they're separated from God forever.
Whoa.
That's pretty serious. So one sin. Who here is sin? Anybody? If I could lift up this leg, we'd get it up. All right, and what does the Bible teach us in Romans 3:23 about sin?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
That's right. So that's every one of us in this room. We are all on this side of this picture. So it means we are separated from God. But God has a plan. This next slide we see, there's a picture of Jesus. And Maddox, tell me, what does the Bible say, John 3:16, about his son Jesus? That was Paul's death was upside down on the cross. Here we go.
For all have sinned. Oh, wait, no. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
That's exactly right. Then it goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven and was obedient to his Father. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and his Father asked him to die on the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for all people, for all sin. And Jesus loves you so much that he went through the pain and the suffering, the embarrassment and the loneliness that was on the cross for you. Romans 5:8 says it this way, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. After Christ died, they put him in a tomb. They put a giant stone in front of it to make sure no one could get in or out. They put Roman guards around it to make sure no one could get in or out. And even after all of that, Maddox, what happened after 3 days?
Jesus rose from the grave.
That's exactly right. He rose from the grave. God wanted to prove this is his son. God has power over life and death. So is Jesus dead?
No.
No, where is he?
He is in heaven.
That's right. He is at the right hand of our Father in heaven. When Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he says, for what I have received, I'm going to pass on to you as of first importance. So he's saying, church, if you hear it, nothing else, make sure you hear this today. 1 Corinthians 15:3, what does he say?
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
That's exactly right. And it goes on to say he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12 apostles, and then he appeared to over 500 of the brothers at the same time. This is after his resurrection. He's appearing to people for over 40 days. 500 people is like this entire room seeing the risen, resurrected Jesus at the same time. I mean, that is a beautiful sight to see and for us to imagine. All right, I'm going to step out of this story for a second and tell another short one. So there's a man. He's walking in the woods down this path one day, and he comes up to this valley. And this valley has this raging, rushing river running through it. And he's thinking to himself, man, I'm stuck. Too far to jump. The rapids are too strong to swim. What am I going to do? He sees the trees. He takes his backpack off. He's thinking, maybe I can build a bridge. So he's looking for a saw or a hammer or nails or rope or something. He doesn't have any of the right tools to rescue himself. So he sits on the banks in helpless need of rescue. He looks down the river and he sees something in the distance. He turns from the path that he's been walking and he starts walking down this new path. You know what he sees? There's a bridge. There's a big, strong, beautiful bridge. All he has to do is walk across this bridge and he's rescued. He's saved. Someone has already done the work for him. Do you know what Jesus tells us? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life, and no one comes through the Father except through me. So we now have a new picture. We still have a perfect and holy God. We still have sinful man, but there is no longer separation. There is a path. There is a bridge. There is a way. And God said, I have a plan, and my plan is my son, Jesus. My son will be the way. My son will be the truth. My son is the life. When you accept him, you accept the Father. When you accept him, when you walk that path of faith in Christ, you can be with the Father. So now we have another picture. We have these hands. Maddox, whose hand is this?
This is Jesus' hand reaching down.
That's right. And where is it coming down from?
Heaven.
That's right. And whose hand is this on the bottom?
This is our hand.
Yeah, it's yours. It's mine. This is our hand. And we're reaching up from this fire, this eternal punishment. And remind me, what does it say in Romans 6:23 about this?
For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
The wage of sin is death. So what is a wage? Is that it's something that we earn, something that we do, that we deserve because we're working for it. And Maddox, how many sins did it take for us to get kicked out of the garden, Adam and Eve?
One sin.
One. So if we have one sin, this is our wage. This is what we deserve, is eternal punishment. Luckily, that's not the end of the verse, right? It says, but the gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
The gift of God is eternal life with Christ Jesus. What a beautiful gift. Actually, you know what, Maddox? I actually have a gift for you today. I heard, possibly from your father, this was your favorite piece of candy, and I just wanted to give this to you. Take it, eat it, enjoy it. It's yours, all right? So what did you have to do to receive that gift?
Nothing.
No? Just grab it? Take it and run? It's yours? Go? That's right. Nothing. All right, so I've got a second gift for you. By the way, it's king size, so this you're really going to enjoy this one. All right, so let me give you this gift, but before I give you this one, I could really use some help today. My truck could use a good wash and wax, and my trees at the house could use a good trimming. My toilets at home are getting a little out of control, and they could use a really good scrubbing. Tell you what, help me with those things, and then I'll give you this gift. Would you like that?
No, thank you.
What? I don't understand. You don't like my gift?
No, I like it. It's just not really a gift.
Oh, ouch. Sounds a little more like a wage. Not a very good gift. All right, well, you'll double up today. That was good. All right, you know what the Bible teaches us about the gift of God? Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And he goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to go do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for us to do. So Maddox, are we supposed to go do good works? Because sometimes this is confusing.
Yes.
We are? That's right, because God has created us to be workers and to go do these good things. But are we saved by our good works?
No.
Then how are we saved?
By grace and through faith.
By grace through faith. So many times, church, we have this gift that is right in front of us, but we live in this world of brokenness. And as believers, sometimes we get confused with our priorities and we see God's creation and the goodness that is here and we start enjoying this world. As Ronnie's recently talked about, sometimes we take good things and make them God things. And sometimes in the life of a believer, we just think, I should just make God a high priority. God doesn't want to be a high priority in our lives. He wants to be the priority. He wants to be the ultimate hidden treasure that we give our lives for. He wants to say, I am willing to lay down my life. I'm going to love the Lord more than I love everything else on this earth, more than I love my family and my kids. I'm going to lay it down at the throne of God, because when I do that, God is the gift. We're talking about this gift of life. God is the gift. When we have Him, we need nothing else. When we walk with Him, He will provide everything along our path. He said, just as I care for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more am I going to care for you, my children? We are children of the King. And when we walk with Him, is our gift, when we're willing to give it all, not just make Him a high priority, He gives us life. He gives us life to the fullest. It's this whole healing. It's this whole joy. It's this whole, I don't have to worry about anything in the world because I have the gift of God that is walking with me. When Jesus is teaching His disciples to pray, He says, our Father in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father. Well, as that Father looks down on His Son during that baptism, He says, this is my Son in whom I love. In Him, I am well pleased. This morning, I want you to feel the heavens opening and coming down and looking on you and saying, you are my Son. You are my daughter, and I love you. I am the gift. I want nothing more than to be with you forever in all eternity. Just come and follow me. Leave this world aside. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you now. I'll take care of you forever. I want to be with you. You are my child, and I am your gift. I want to give you life and life to the fullest. Church, the gift is yours. The gift is God. All you have to do is reach out and receive it. If this message was for you this morning, if this was like Christ was speaking to you through us as we come as ambassadors for Christ, I pray the Holy Spirit gives you the courage as we talk about stepping up in our faith as believers. There's a powerful verse in Romans 10:9 that talks about this. And what does it say, Maddox?
That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in confessing the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. Now, each week, we get the privilege of seeing brothers and sisters walk up into those waters of baptism. They are professing Jesus as Lord. And there is salvation that comes to a person that confesses in the powerful name of Jesus. So for those of you that are out there and are ready for that next step, we're going to have a time of prayer down here later with our elders. I pray that you come down and say, I'm ready to believe in my heart. I'm ready to confess with my mouth. I'm ready to take that next step as a follower of Jesus as my Lord. For others of you today, I pray that you hear this message of an ambassador, and you take this message, and as the First Colony Church of Christ, we gather, we grow, and we go. We go on mission for God to our Sugar Land, our Houston, our Texas, and to our 5 international mission points to the end of the earth. Church, if you are not living into this part of an ambassador, is a key part of your identity as a believer, you're missing out on the fullness of what Christ has to offer for you. Okay? Let's join God. Let's join Jesus in His mission.